You're listening to the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maines. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we're talking with Dr. Maines about issues that relate to pastors. And we've been talking most recently about critiquing sermons. David, are you ever able to listen to a sermon and not also critique it?
Is this a curse? I don't know. Is Roger Ebert ever able to watch a movie without critiquing it? I mean, that's who he is. It's so ingrained in his life that I don't think he could just watch a movie and say, I just enjoyed it. I didn't think about critiquing it. Your mind thinks in certain patterns, and so you almost don't have any choice. That's who you are, and I don't think he could. That's my honest feeling. If you talk about a musician, say a piano teacher, can you ever just listen to a person play the piano and not be aware when they hit a clinker or whatever? Maybe if it's a fourth grader, and it's your relative, you might be able to. I don't know. This is who I am, Dean. So I hear people, and even though I don't voice my opinion, I always can say, yeah, I know what the subject was that person talked about, or I have no idea what the subject was. I know what the response being called for, or why wasn't there a response. That's just in me. So the answer is probably no, I don't think I can do that. But I can be wise in not opening my mouth about it sometimes.
So when would be a time when you would refrain from using your critiquing skill?
There are times when I would. I think if somebody preached a first sermon, I would be able to say, I think it's really great, and I'm thrilled for your calling, and I think you have potential, and I'm just commending the Lord that he saw in you these qualities that he wanted for his kingdom. There are a lot of people who would love to be called to be a minister, and they've never had somebody affirm that. You're in that position. Good for you. I'm thrilled for you. Because I think that for me to try to impose on somebody's first sermon my experience, I don't think that's right. I think that I remember the first time I was an associate pastor in a large church, and it was a large church in the suburbs, and I was called into Moody Church. Moody Church is a very large church in the city of Chicago. Obviously, D.L. Moody is its background and all that. It's not officially connected with Moody Bible Institute, but they're sister organizations, and there's a lot of back and forth using auditoriums and so on. And I was called in to be the assistant pastor at Moody Church because they didn't have a pastor for so long. Alan Redpath had been the pastor. I became a good friend of his. I enjoyed his mentoring of me in a sense. Dr. Redpath had gone back to Scotland, but he would come back to the States, and he would make it a point to look me up, ask how things were going, and he was a great man. He's with the Lord. I got his books, got him to autograph my books and read through them, so it was almost like I could hear him preach even though I was reading it off the page. And at Moody Church, when I was there, I was asked finally to preach on a Sunday morning, which was a great honor for me. And, you know, I knew as a young pastor, once they heard me preach, they would want me to be the senior pastor there. I mean, anybody who's young, you think you're the greatest preacher in the whole world. And I preached my first time on a Sunday morning. And there were a large number of people came forward. It was kind of a tradition in the church to have an altar call. And I was quite surprised because I just wasn't used to that. And so I preached, and I would guess there were probably 20 to 25, 30 people came forward. And one person came up to me afterward and said, I have something that I think will help you. And that person gave me a whole sheet of paper with my grammatical errors. Well, you know, I was still in the amazing Lord that there were that many people came forward. I was taken back by that. It wasn't something I had expected. And then all of a sudden, here was this thing that kept me from having any kind of a big head. Because this person gave me this list of all the grammar mistakes I had made. And I thought that was wrong. That was something that took the joy out of what had happened that morning, because all I could remember was that. So I'm very careful about people who are new to the pulpit. I don't think I would critique somebody who didn't want me to critique them. That's just asking for trouble. And there have been numbers of times when I've heard people preach, and they know I'm in the audience, and they have every opportunity to say, I'm interested to know what you thought of the sermon, but they don't say that, you know. And if I even, maybe they'll want to go to lunch afterward, and we'll talk, and I'll talk about the service, and I appreciated being there and so on. And it was good to hear you preach. And if they want to, they can bite on that and tell me what your thoughts are, really. If they don't do that, I don't offer my thoughts, because I think, well, they don't really want to know. And they didn't hire me to do that. I'm a friend, so I can keep my mouth shut. So there are times when I know that, you know, even though this is my world, I'm more than happy to keep my mouth shut. You don't have to know my opinion. And the truth is, I'm not God. So I oftentimes think, God, do you think the same things I think about this? And I don't think he ever answers out loud, but if he could, he'd probably say just exactly what you do. Ha, 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 ha. I'm glad you take yourself so seriously, and I'm also glad you don't take yourself so seriously, you know. So
talk percentages with me, percentages of pastors. How many are open to being critiqued by someone like yourself?
I would say maybe a third, mostly younger. That's a generalization. There are some older pastors who are open. Not a lot. I'm more sure in my mind that two-thirds don't want to be critiqued. They will resist it at every occasion. So I'm not going to push them in any way. There are a third, probably, and they're mostly younger, and they are open to that. And, you know, I have no way to know whether that's true or not, a third, two-thirds. That's just me, from my experience, giving a general response to it. So the answer is less of them are open to being critiqued than more of them are open to being critiqued. And that may be helpful to people in a congregation who think they could give advice to a pastor from a listener. Most of the time, they're not open to that advice. They just aren't.
So if a minister is open to your input, can you make a poor preacher into a great preacher?
How do you think I will answer that? I know exactly how I'm going to answer that. What would you think I would say?
Well, I don't know. Actually, a part of me wants to say, yeah. If a person who is preaching poorly at this point has joined us for these podcasts, that shows an interest. If they've signed up for a membership in sermoncoach.com and are using the resources there, there's every reason why someone who is a poor preacher can become a very excellent preacher simply by their willingness to learn. So my sense is, yeah, I think a poor preacher can greatly improve their preaching skills by spending time with us and taking advantage of the resources we have available. But what's your answer?
Well, I think I can make a poor preacher a good preacher. I don't know if I can make him a great preacher or her a great preacher. I can make a poor preacher a better preacher. So I'm kind of saying what you're saying. I can make a good preacher a great preacher. You know, there's certain people who are never going to be a great preacher. That's just the way it is. I'm one of those. I will never be a great preacher in most people's minds. I think in most people's minds I'm a good preacher. And sometimes I'm an exceptional preacher. I preach some real wingers sometimes. But if you take my overall average, I would say if I'm a good preacher, I would be very happy with that. And there will be some people who are very close to what I'm saying, and they will resonate and say, that's one of the best preachers I've ever heard. But overall, I'm happy to be a good preacher. I guess the rating is kind of hard for me because I want to be an effective preacher, and I think I'm highly effective. Do I get a lot of people to change in terms of their lives so they are transformed as a result of hearing the preaching? Yes, very much so. But if you ask me how many, if 100 people hear me on a Sunday morning, how many are changed? Well, you know, 75 of them are not changing. Of the 100, maybe 5 are changing, and that's wonderful. Are there some people who get 80 out of 100 to change? I don't know. How many people changed when they heard Jesus? You know, it's hard to know. They were overwhelmed by what he said. How many were changed? It probably was not 50% or more. That's my guess. So preaching is one of those things where even when you're Jesus, you don't get the response that you'd like. You know, we're not getting the ratings that the World Series is getting on television, you know. So I'm basically trying to be realistic and say, yes, I can take a person who's, say, a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10 and move that person to a 5 or a 6, and that's a huge change. And I may even be able to get him to a 7. If to start with that person was a 6, I can probably get him to an 8. You know, if the person was exceptionally talented, and I know some people like that, they are incredibly skilled. I'm thinking right now of a pastor who I would love to have the skills that guy has. And I think even then I could help that person become a 9 and maybe even bring him to a 10, you know, because there will be help that way. But at the same time, if the individual started as a 2, if I can be a help and get that person to a 4, that's wonderful. So that's kind of where I'm in my thinking. Can I get a poor preacher to be a great preacher? Probably not, but I can get the person to be a good preacher, okay?